In 1264, Pope Urban IV established the new feast of Corpus Christi as a direct result of a revelation made by our Lord to a nun, Blessed Juliana of Cormoran, that a feast of glory and splendor be established in honor of the most blessed sacrament to combat growing disbelief in the real presence. The Pope requested St. Bonaventure, the Superior General of the Franciscans, and St. Thomas Aquinas, a Dominican, to submit drafts of the Divine Office and Mass for the new feast. On the day of the judging, done by the Pope himself, St. Thomas read his text, and tears fell from the eyes of both the Pope and St. Bonaventure. St. Bonaventure thereupon tore his own composition into shreds. St. Thomas had expressed the essence of the feast day so perfectly and beautifully that nothing remained to be said. This feast, then, was the occasion for St. Thomas Aquinas to compose the only five hymns he ever wrote. It is particularly fitting that the angelic doctor, known for his intricate works of theology, should write these hymns, and only these hymns, confined to the subject of the Holy Sacrament of the altar. Their poetic depth and grace are unmatched in the Roman liturgy, and as set to the Church's own proper music, they are some of the greatest treasures of the timeless Gregorian chant. Corpus Christi, the body of Christ, the Holy Eucharist, is the center of our Christian life, just as Christ is the center of our Christian religion. As St. Thomas Aquinas put it, it is the greatest of sacraments because it contains Christ himself. It not only symbolizes, as the Protestants believe, but as the Catholics believe, actually contains Christ, actually is Christ. Yet how can the human intellect alone really understand such a mystery? When Christ himself revealed the mystery of the Blessed Sacrament to his disciples, St. John the Apostle tells us, "Many of his disciples, when they heard it, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?' After this, many of his disciples drew back and no longer went about with him." In our day, too, even many who describe themselves as Catholics reject Christ's own clear teaching and the traditional teaching of the Church about the Blessed Sacrament. A 1994 Time CBS News poll indicated that, depending upon their age group, 45% to 70% of such Catholic respondents identified with the Protestant belief in the Holy Eucharist rather than the Catholic one. The Dogmatic Council of Trent expressed the immemorial teaching of the Catholic Church when it proclaimed, "If anyone denies that the body and blood, together with the soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore the whole Christ, is truly, really, and substantially contained in the sacrament of the Most Holy Eucharist, but says that Christ is present in the sacrament only as a symbol or figure, or by his power, let him be condemned." To understand the nature of this real presence of our Lord in the Holy Eucharist, and to explain what happens during the consecration of the Mass, the Church came to use the term transubstantiation, that is, a changing of the substance of the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. Now, sometimes it is argued that this term is no longer applicable, since the scientific views on which it is based from the classical and medieval periods are obsolete. Nothing could be further from the truth, as the sense in which the term is used transcends any particular theory of science. The term substance refers to the permanent underlying reality of anything that exists, which makes it what it is and not something else. We could talk of the substance of grass, grassiness, if you will, which makes it grass and not a tree. When grass is eaten by cows, it is changed, or we might say transubstantiated, into milk, because one substance has been changed into another. Contrasted to the substance of a thing are what are called its accidents, what appears on the surface to our senses, its color, size, or taste, for example. The substance of something can remain unchanged, even though its accidents do change, just as the appearances of bread and wine remain when their substance is changed into the body and blood of Christ. We see examples of such changes in everyday life. Water appears very different when it is ice or liquid or steam, but its substance, its underlying reality, still remains unchanged, water. Normally, when the substance of something is changed, its appearances change as well. The grass that the cow eats appears quite different when its substance has been changed into milk. But in the case of the Holy Eucharist, the substance changes while the appearances remain the same. If we ask what the priest holds in his hands before pronouncing the words of consecration, we must answer, bread. Once he has pronounced these words, we must answer, the body of Christ. It is Christ himself who taught this to us, Christ who could change water into wine at Cana, and who could feed 5,000 with a few loaves and fishes on the Mount of Beatitudes. The more we try with our minds to understand this great sacrament, the more we find we must rely upon the virtue of faith. One of the greatest minds that the Church ever produced, the angelic doctor St. Thomas Aquinas, though he attempted to explain the Holy Eucharist in his great theological works, in the end was forced to resort to poetry to express more deeply the essence of Corpus Christi. We therefore conclude these reflections with a translation of three stanzas from St. Thomas's great Eucharistic hymn, the Adoro Te. O Godhead hid, devoutly I adore thee, who truly art within the forms before me. To thee my heart I bow with bended knee, as failing quite in contemplating thee. Sight, touch, and taste in thee are each deceived. The ear alone most safely is believed. I believe all the Son of God has spoken, than truth's own word there is no truer token. Jesus, whom for the present veiled I see, what I thirst for, O vouchsafe to me, that I may see thy countenance unfolding, and may be blessed thy glory in beholding. Amen.